There was a lot of gamemanship went along in the trade, but.
But there wasn't any racing down the river.
Well, there's speed limits through most of the Great Lakes. Wake, there's called wake, speed wake, and you can only sail so quickly because of the erosion. But once you get outside of Quebec City, St. Lawrence River is wide open. Go from here to Sault Ste. Marie, you can go as fast as you want. So the lake boats aren't built for speed. They're not like ocean going ships that say they can do 18 and 20 knots. We never put big engines in the ships. It's going to take you 5 days to get here from here to Montreal. If you go full blast across a couple of lakes, you're going to save 2 hours, and you're going to burn 2 or 3 tons of fuel. Like, the only time speed would help you is if there's two ships due at a port at the same time. And if you use a little quicker or a little quicker on the spot or knew that someone else was there, well, he might try to get unloaded that much quicker to get to where he's going.
So when you make the phone calls then, let's say that you're going to unload into a transfer elevator,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, your conversation would be with the elevator manager or with your staff?
Oh, and with the manager.
With the manager.
Oh, you always talk
to them. So you got to know them.
Oh, yeah,
as well.
Yeah. I knew all the guys in Montreal and, well, all Montreal, Quebec City, Baie-Comeau, Port Cartier, Sorel, Prescott.
Any differences in dealing with those people? Or
well, they're all different. Yeah, everybody has a little... The Americans had a whole different way that they dealt with ships. Like, you come to Thunder Bay and you load in 14 hours, 13 hours. You go to Milwaukee, you're there for 3 days. You go to Duluth, you're there for 2 days. And they just... The costs are just astronomical. You got to charge another 30% if you're going to Duluth or Chicago, Milwaukee. Their elevator is just so inefficient. Thunder Bay elevators, the ones that are still operating, are like, they can get stuff out really quick.
That must be to our advantage then, because as you said, it's not cheap to have a ship sitting there waiting.
Mm-hmm.
So to the customer, might make the difference about where they load. If they have a choice?
It's
no?
A funny business, yeah. Yeah, grain was a funny business because the wheat board is your bread and butter. The Canadian wheat board would sell... Well, it's not just the wheat board, it's the Canadian grain. Canadian grain is the standard in the world. You know, like, the only grain that's at the same standard, I believe, is in... Australia. The Russians produce 10 times the amount of grain that we produce, maybe 20 times, but it never got to the standards of Canadian. I think number one Canadian red spring wheat is the best grain, best graded grain you can get. Like, and I don't know as much about the manufacturing, but they blend it down to make bread. You don't even have to use that. You can use number three red spring to make all your bread products. So the cost of it was substandard grain out of the States, but the Canadian Wheat Board sold their grain for more, so were able to pay you a little bit more for transportation, even despite that you were getting a better turnaround. In the States, the cost, the turnarounds was slower and more expensive. Well, it's more expensive because they're paying their guys 3 days to load the ship that these guys only have to pay 1 day. But even despite that, it was still, it wasn't the same scale as paying. And in the States, they paid by the bushel. Canada, they paid by the metric ton. Americans still can't figure out what a metric ton is. So,